In Acts chapter 3, you have Peter and John going up to the temple, and they meet this lame fella and end up healing him. And God gave them a privilege of standing there on the porch and preaching the gospel to the people there. And we get then to chapter 4, and he's still preaching. And he comes to this place in verse number 1, and he says, "And they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." May we pray tonight. Father, Lord, there's been so much going on. What a privilege to see and be a part of this ordination, sending men, this couple, to the mission field. Lord, I pray that tonight that you'll call some men and some women, that they'll surrender their life to you as you surrendered your life for us, that others might hear the gospel and be saved. Lord, that we'll take an example of this verse that we're going to study here in a moment, and we'll really understand what you're trying to do. And Father, that you will do a work in our hearts that will never change. God bless us now. Honor yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice in verse number 1 here, he says, "And they spake, as they spake unto the people," all they were doing was preaching the word of God. When you go out and preach the word of God, there's not everybody going to like it. Brother Sam, there's going to be some folks waiting for you that like it, but there's going to be a whole lot that don't. And there's always those that are going to be ready to throw rocks, and that's the way it was here in the Bible. And it says in verse number 2, "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." When we go around to churches and travel around the country, we hear a lot of compliments, but we also hear some other things. All roads lead to Rome. In other words, what are you doing, what you're doing for? Let's leave them alone. They'll go ahead and get to heaven on their own. I've had people tell me, "What right do you have to go there?" Some said, "Why are you going over there to mess up their culture?" One of my own kinfolk said, "Why don't you just leave them alone? They're all right." When you've seen the witch doctors burning marks in the forehead of and in the stomachs of the people and taking their money and just butchering people, when you see human sacrifices and babies being one of the reasons they immediately in Uganda, when they give birth, they'll go ahead and they'll pierce their ears, not for purties, but because that defiles the body, because somebody will steal their child and use it as a human sacrifice. When you go to some countries now, in Uganda, it's a good thing when you have twins. They're called Kato, twins. Boy, that's a big deal. But not in some countries. They bury them alive because they're a curse. When you realize what goes on in the world, you begin to realize that all roads don't lead to Rome. And they are not all right. Just leave them alone. Missions to lost people is unnecessary. Now listen to what I'm saying. Missions to lost people is unnecessary. But to Christians, it's necessary. Every Christian, a member of a Bible-believing Independent Baptist Church, should be involved in missions. Every person, I don't expect lost people to get excited about giving to missions. But I do expect saved people to get involved. Because you know what it's like to be lost. And you know what it's like to get saved. And what God's done in your life is what God can do in other people's lives. And that's why every one of us should give sacrificially to get the gospel to this world out here. It's messed up. Notice in verse number 3, and they laid their hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was eventide. What'd they do? They arrested them. We know a little bit about that as we took some of the folks out to the Pygmies. We was going to take some food out there, and while we was out there, we was able to preach to some of them and gave them the gospel, and 10 of them got saved that day. Man, we was rejoicing. Coming on the way back, and here comes the bishop had sent his emissaries out there to block our road, and they illegally arrested us and forced us to go to the bishop's house and interrogated us there for about an hour and a half, and they weren't concerned about anybody getting saved, just like the folks here. They didn't care that 5,000 got saved that day. They wanted their position. They wanted their prestige. They didn't want you to mess up their little religious game here. And that's the way it is on the mission field many times. But look in verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" What are they saying? Where's your authority for what you're doing? Now, if you want a driving permit, driver's license, y'all call it different stuff back here. If you want a driver's license, preacher can fill that paper right out and just give it to you, right? The policeman might not agree. Why can't he just give you a driver's license? Because he doesn't have the authority to do that. I mean, I think everybody in California ought to have a concealed carry permit. I better not get political here. And I would love to write out one for every one of you. The problem is I don't have the authority to do that. Now think with me a minute. What we're talking about is eternity. Whether somebody can go to heaven for eternity or somebody goes to hell for eternity. And there's only one authority that can tell you whether you can go or not. And that's God Himself. He is the only authority. We've not offended a government, we've offended a holy God. And we can only go to Him. You go to some kids and try to correct somebody else's kids, and they'll look at you and say, "You're not my dad." And I'm glad. That's why I'm about ready to rip your head off. What is he saying? You're not the authority. Well, religion is not an authority to tell you whether you can go to heaven or not. God is the only one that can do that. He is the authority. Now listen carefully what he says in verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. God wrote the book, not me. And God says there is no salvation. You cannot go to heaven. It doesn't make any difference what the Catholics say. It doesn't make any difference what the Baptists say. It doesn't make any difference what the government says. God says there is salvation in none other. You cannot go to heaven any other way. That tells me what the problem is. Man needs salvation. Now, I'm not big on outlines, but I'm going to give you 3 points here. Number one, man needs salvation. That's impressive, isn't it? That's the problem. That tells me that I need salvation. That means I need a Savior. September 21st, 1975, I put my faith and trust in my Savior. But that also means that you need a Savior. If you're listening to my voice tonight, you need a Savior. I don't care if your mom and daddy was preachers or missionaries or whoever you are. You still need a Savior. But that tells me something else. Everybody in the world needs a Savior. Because there's no other name. There's no other place they can go. There's no other way of salvation. That's why he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. Now, that's all means. Every person on the face of this earth is lost without Jesus Christ. Man needs salvation. They must be born again. They must be saved. They need the forgiveness of Almighty God. That's the only way you can get to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. That means that every person in every country in the world, look back here at these flags. Turn around and look at them. That flag just takes up a little room, but they're talking about millions and millions and millions of people in those countries. I was talking to my director yesterday, and he said, we're just opening up the country of Gambia. So there's one little bitty Baptist church in the entire nation, the entire country. And he starts listing off country after country after country in Africa that doesn't even have one. Listen to me. Neither is there salvation in any other. Every person in those countries are going to die and spend eternity in the lake of fire. I don't care whether they're USA, I don't care if it's China, I don't care if it's France, wherever they're at, every country needs a Savior. Every person in that country needs a Savior. And without that Savior, they cannot go to heaven. Now the world will tell you, well, we need to help them. And we do. But they'll have feed the hungry. And they'll send people to feed them. And they'll go ahead and they'll send somebody over to teach them hygiene, how to be clean. And they'll send somebody over there to start schools and they'll educate them. I mean from the baby all the way up through the university. And you'll send people over and they'll build buildings. And boy, I mean some beautiful buildings. But the problem is those people are not bad people. And they're not necessarily against Christ. But they are leaving the soul of all of those people virtually untouched. What they're doing is good. But now all you have is a clean, healthy, educated, wealthy, somebody that lives in a great house, lost without God. And what have we done? As far as eternity, nothing. Nothing. Man needs salvation. But notice he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Men need Jesus. Simple. Men need Jesus. Why? There's none other name. Neither is there salvation in any other. Buddha, Confucius, don't make any difference. Mary, whoever. Only Jesus. He identifies him in verse number 10. He said, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Only the name of Jesus. That tells me that salvation is limited. Now, I'm not preaching limited atonement, okay? Salvation is limited to Jesus Christ alone. That means all those countries that don't know about Jesus are going to hell. Pure and simple. Think about the men that he was talking about there, the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many of these people. They're men that were religious, they were intelligent, they were powerful. Every one of them thought they had a relationship with God. But they're going to bust hell wide open. I remember when we were starting the church there in Sirote. We had a pole barn type structure. We had about three walls on it. We left one wall completely open, and that's a whole long story about that. But the wall, there wasn't any wall there. And just a path down the village of Kitchen Judgy there. And I'd teach chronologically, and I'd teach the people for several hours there while they were, you know, while we were just getting the church started, trying to really help them understand the things of God. And old John, this guy, he was a reverend. He come walking down that path while I'm teaching. And you can tell he was a reverend, you know, got his collar, shirt on backwards, whatever. And he goes on past, goes down the road, and he turns around, comes back, and he sits on the back row. And I just kept on teaching, and when I finished, John was gone. Next day, I'm out there teaching again, several hours going on. Here comes John. He comes around, comes, sits on the back row. He did about 4 days before John realized that he needed Jesus Christ. And John got saved. We buried him about 3 months ago. He was the head of the radio station there in Sirote for several years. He was religious. He thought he was right with God. You may be religious and think you're right with God, but there is no salvation in any other outside of Jesus Christ. You must come through him, not just through mom and daddy's religion. A lot of these people, they had great power. I remember Censure. Brother Demonstra will remember him. We was out there together several times in the village. And Censure was a captain in a boat day's army. And he went into exile when they overthrew the government, and he went into Kenya. And Brother Terry Childers, a missionary over there, he was going to take Terry's money, which that's normal. Get used to that, brother. But he witnessed to him, and Censure got saved. And I'll never forget, we were sitting out there one night. I mean, it's pitch dark, and we're sitting out there in front of his little mud house and everything. He used to live in the palaces, walk into the president's office day or night unannounced. And he was sitting there out in front of that little mud hut where he lives now, because he came back and was helping him get a church started. And we're sitting there, and Censure said, Pastor, I feel so ashamed. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't know my life. When I was the military man, I was in charge of the barracks at Imbarata. He said, Pastor, I am responsible for killing over 100,000 Ugandans. You think God can't save you because you're a sinner? This man was powerful, but he came to the place that he found out there was no salvation in any other. And he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and was able to help Censure get a church started out there. And oh, we could go on for hours about all kinds of stories about Censure, but these people were people of position. I remember when we first went out, Mama Andrew, my wife, when we went out to the Pygmy Village. I'd never seen a pygmy before in my life. I didn't know nothing about them. But we come out there to their village, and they come bringing out a little bench, and we sat on, they trying to be polite, and they set us on that bench, and they brought a book. Everywhere you go, you have to sign a book saying what you're there for and who you are and the date and all that, you know. And I looked through that, and I noticed it had a whole lot of signatures, and I kind of looked at it. But I went ahead and signed it and just gave it back to him. And God gave me the opportunity, and we just set all them pygmies down right there in the grass. And I'm standing on the kind of the road here, and I just take my Bible and just rear back and start preaching. We had about 30 pygmies receive Christ that day. The chief of the village got saved. He said, "Man, you got to go to this other village, the Pygmy Village, we got to tell them too." And I said, "Okay." So we got in a vehicle and we start going up the mountain there and the road. And he leaned up there and he said, "Pastor," I said, "nobody, nobody has ever told us this message before." And I began to think, as I looked at that book, or I remembered that book and looking at it, Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, just page after page. Everybody wants to go see the pygmies, but nobody had ever stopped and told them about Jesus. There's none other name under heaven that man can get saved. That's what missions is all about. That's what worldwide missions is taking the name of Jesus Christ to these people and introducing him to them. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to do that. You just got to have a willing heart. There's so much that I could and would like to say, but I'm very long-winded, so I better shut up and keep going. Point number three, this will fall right in. It's called Men Need You. Men need salvation, and men need Jesus, but men need you. I know God can do it by himself, but that's not what God chose. God chose the instrumentality of men. That's not my plan, that's God's plan. So God, men need you. Without you, they're not going to hear the gospel. Turn back to John chapter 3 real quick. The book of John chapter 3. You say, "Oh, I know this verse. I know it. I want you to see it." Because we read these verses, but we really don't know what they say. John chapter 3. If you get there before I do, start without me. Verse number 3, you could quote it, but I want you to look at it. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again? He cannot see the kingdom of God. That's worldwide missions. That's what this conference is all about. That's why we're here. He goes on down to verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The people in all of these countries that do not have the gospel of Jesus Christ are already condemned. They're lost. These men need you. They need somebody to take the gospel. We say we pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth what? You. Not somebody else, you. 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 It's personal. It's not the other guy. It's not somebody else. It's not our neighbor. It's not the other guy that goes to church with us. It's you. Men need you. Wouldn't you like the privilege that God's given me to walk into that pygmy village and be the first person that ever tells them about Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to be able to go over to New Zealand and here's these people and they don't know a thing about Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to go to Nigeria and tell those folks about Jesus Christ? They need you. Because without you going, they're going to die and go to hell. People are dying in my country and all these other countries day after day, some from starvation, some from terror, some from old age. I don't care what they're dying from, disease, AIDS, all kinds of stuff. The fact is that they're dying without Jesus Christ. And God's given us that responsibility to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. There's none other name given among or under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He says in Romans 10, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Men need you to take that gospel. I would to God I could get on a plane and go back home. But I can't. I just can't go no more. But you can. So I'm too old. I was 43 when I hit the mission field. Well, I have kids, so die. Had a business, so did everybody else have a business. There's no excuse. God wants them to be saved. They need a Savior. None other Savior but Jesus Christ can save them, and they need you to tell them. The simple question is, will you go? Will you do like Pastor said? Will you just surrender? Isaiah, God said, who'll go for us? He volunteered. He said, here, my Lord, send me. Would to God that we had people that would simply come and say, God, please, let me be the one. I want to be the one. If he doesn't call you, okay, but at least you're telling him, I'm willing to go. Send me. Let me be the one. I know some of you want to tell him. I know you do. I don't know what's holding you back. There's not a greater life in the world than being a missionary. They need you. It simply takes surrender. Would you like to tell them? You may be here and you are the mission field. You're not saved. You don't have a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ, but you've never received Him. Maybe tonight you need to come and receive Jesus Christ. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life, because without Jesus Christ, there is none other. You may think you're okay, just like they did in the book, but you're not. You need to be born again. You need your sins forgiven.